Okay.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Just now? Okay. Welcome to the committee, Sylvia.
I am a paraplegic spinal cord injury. I was injured at the age of 17 and I'm now 40. It is not easy living a life in a wheelchair, although I make the best of it. I have always believed that I would walk again someday. It has now been scientifically proven that the spinal cord can be regenerated. Where the problem lies is funding, as you all know. Imagine yourself being involved in a terrible accident, not being able to care for yourself for the rest of your life, having to depend on others for your care. This is what so many spinal cord injuries endure. Worse yet, imagine your child. It makes me cringe, for I have children myself. We need to find a cure as soon as possible. Please, please help in any way that you can to help grant $3 million of the OHSU budget earmarked for spinal cord injury cure research, and help put an end to all the pain and suffering.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the members? Thank you very much, Sylvia, for coming. Bill Kemp, please.
Well, thank you for hearing me. I'm a C12 spinal cord injury from a bicycle accident. I've been this way for 3 years, and not only am I confined to the wheelchair, I'm also ventilator dependent. And through the research, my ventilator during the day is this small box, and it stimulates my phrenic nerve, which pushes the diaphragm to breathe just like you and most other people. This only happened through research. It allows me to hold a full-time job now with this Precision Cast Parts as a research and development technician. I worked here 16 years before the accident and continue to work full-time every day and weekends if necessary. I need full care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Other than sipping and puffing my chair, I can do absolutely nothing for myself. And that goes from the time we start getting ready in the morning between 4 and 5, and I go to bed at 10 at night, and I'm finally able to go to sleep around midnight. That's a typical day for me. And that requires a nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need the $3 million to put not only people like me, but these two kids behind me also. They don't need to spend the rest of their life going through what I do or what I'm going through or what others. Again, the technology for the pacer was developed through research. It has freed me up from hauling around a large box and a hose that goes to my drake, which is noisy and allows me to breathe. We don't need everybody to do that. We need the money. It's not very much. When you look at the full scheme of things, $3 million in which to get a good start on repairing, healing, or developing new techniques for these people to lead, quote, as full a life as possible. $3 million. And that would prevent any one of you or any one of people you know to go through the care that we need in order for us to participate. Because I guarantee you, we're not going to give up. And so we ask you again for $3 million. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Questions or comments from the members? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. I'm curious if you can give us a little information on the coordination between state efforts such as this and federal efforts, because I know there are some happening at the federal level. What are some of the connections there?
Right now I use no state or federal. I'm using insurance companies from my wife's employer and my employer. They are picking up the tab at this point, but that won't go on forever.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if I could clarify. I meant in regard to the research that is going on. I'm sorry, I didn't word that.
That I'm not real familiar.
Okay, we can ask somebody else.
Excuse me, Representative Hobson, we do have a couple of people to speak to that very
thing. Good.
So we'll I want to get to that next. Okay. I wanted to take care of Bill, and any other comments? And so we'll interrupt Representative Shetterly. Do you wish to come forward, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate the indulgence. I'll be very brief. I know you've got some folks who probably have more technical and helpful information than I, but for the record, Lane Shetterly, State Representative, District 4. It's been my pleasure to work with the folks who are behind this good and worthwhile effort to secure some funding to allow Oregon to be a participant in something as important as and valuable to our citizens as spinal cord injury research. I tell you, this is an issue that probably is more personal to me this session than it was last session. I have a law partner who in 1999 was on his first day of vacation down in Mexico, who got there a little bit before the dinner hour, and so with his wife put on their swimsuits and stepped out of their cabana and down to the beach, and he was picked up by an oversized and unexpected swell that planted him head first on the hard sandy bottom, and he's a quadriplegic to this day. What saved his life was a life flight to the Scripps Institute in San Diego, but he's just now getting to the point where he's able to return to some practice of law and is able, through a lot of adaptive and assistive devices, to maintain a reasonably active law practice, but nothing like the life that he had. So this is one of those issues that really isn't us and them, it's there but for the grace of God go I kind of considerations here. And just like so many of the exciting breakthroughs that we're seeing even in the paper this week on cancer research, the more that we can do to assist the development of the medical technology and science to move the ball forward to something as exciting as what we saw in the Super Bowl advertisements here last winter, I guess it was, with Christopher Reeves actually walking out onto the stage. Someday that may happen. And I think it would be a grand thing for Oregon to say that we played a role, that we were participants, that we lent our best medical minds and research facilities to help make that happen. We certainly have a lot of citizens in Oregon who are looking for that day. And I think it'll come. It's a question of how fast we can do this. And to that extent, the investment that these folks are asking to help spur that day and make it happen just that much sooner is a reasonable one, and I think a good humanitarian way for us to say that we care about the people we serve. That's really all I have.
Thank you, Lane. Comments or questions from the panel?
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see, John, I do want to get back to the agenda here, and then we'll return to the public hearing portion when we get to the next part.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Education Subcommittee, my name is John Britton, and I work in the Legislative Fiscal Office. And I would call your attention to two pieces of paper that I have printed out to you. The first, Final Court Injury Research Board, House Bill 5041, Orientation and Background. And I've also handed out the LFO written analysis of the governor's recommended budget, which deals with this agency as well. Under orientation and background, the flip side of that has some bullets. The Spinal Cord Injury Research Board was created by the 1999 Legislative Assembly through Senate Bill 540. It consists of 11 members appointed by the governor. Its mission is to promote the performance of basic research in Oregon relating to regeneration of damage from traumatic spinal cord injury. And I note here that Senate Bill 540 also created a Spinal Cord Injury Research Fund within the state treasury. A few facts about spinal cord injury: it primarily affects young males or young adults, and 80% of them are male. Primary causes of spinal cord injury: motor vehicle accidents, acts of violence, particularly gunshot wounds, falls, and recreational sporting activities. First-year injury costs are estimated to be $550,000 to care for a person with spinal cord injury, and $98,000 a year thereafter. Private foundations and the National Institute of Health currently offer research funds. And I note here the second bullet on the front side: while House Bill 5041 contains $3 million of other funds expenditure limitation, the governor's budget does not identify a specific revenue source. And down at the bottom of the page, there is some legislation. House Bill 2412 appropriates $1.5 million of general fund to the board's research fund. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, fine. Is Colleen Kinney here? Sure.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. My name is Colleen Kinney, Department of Administrative Services, and I'll be referring to this handout. I'll start with page 2. This is a presentation of the governor's recommended budget for the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. The 70th Legislative Assembly created the board. 11 members were appointed by Governor Kitzhaber, and they were confirmed by the Senate last February. As you can see in this table, there isn't much history to make a budget comparison from biennia to biennia, but you can see a large increase here, the 3 million percent increase. Page 3 shows the revenue source other than the $1 general fund. The recommended budget includes $3 million other funds revenue. And as John Britton mentioned, that revenue source is yet to be determined. Page 4 shows that the recommended budget establishes the research grant program and includes one permanent part-time executive officer position to oversee the program. At this time, all the board's work has been done on a voluntary basis. Expenses such as printing and travel costs have been paid by individual board members. Page 5 shows that the board consists of one program unit. Page 6 shows that special payments would make up 98% of the board's budget. The board would make grant awards to private or public researchers in Oregon. About 1% is for services and supplies, and that's the basic overhead costs for, like, office expenses. And about 1% would be for personal services. That's for the one part-time position, 0.25 FTE. Then on page 7, this shows that the agency has no emergency board actions during the current biennium, and no adjustments were made to its current service level because that was $1 other funds. There were two policy packages. The first one is 101, which the recommended budget includes to establish the board. It would include expenditure limitation for a new permanent part-time position, the executive officer position, and fund travel and office expenses and other services and supplies. Package 102 would provide other funds expenditure limitation amounting to about $2.9 million as special payments. The board would like to leverage state resources with matching grants from federal agencies such as National Institutes of Health or private donors and philanthropists. Then the board would make grants available to private or public researchers in Oregon to develop new spinal cord technology. I'll end my presentation with the last thing about the revenue changes. Basically, the board has held meetings to come up with strategies and lay the groundwork for the legislative session, but it's been unable to solicit funding from grants and donations, and so it does not have has not yet identified a revenue source.
Okay, thank you, Colleen. Questions? Representative Close.
Colleen, did you say that the board was just approved this February 2001, or was it
2000?
2000.
Yes.
Okay. Seemed like kind of a long delay there. So they haven't, since last session's passage, there hasn't actually been work done. It's just the setup that's been accomplished. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Close, the board has met informally a few times during the current biennium.
Thank you.
Question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Smith.
I find this very interesting and something that's probably needed. But I'm also mindful in this package here, of course, Christopher Reeve brought the spinal cord research really to the forefront of national attention with his injury and the formation of his foundation. Now, would this dollars allocated for research here in Oregon, would that run in competition with research being conducted throughout the United States, or will they enhance each other? Can you tell me how that works?
Mr. Chair, Senator Smith, I mean Representative Smith,
okay.
I'm not sure. I'd like to let the board respond to that because
we have board members here.
Yes.
Yes.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleen, am I correct in assuming that the 0.25 FTE will more than likely pay part of another full-time position dealing with health issues of some kind, or where will that be housed?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson, this was modeled off of another board that was created recently, the Board of Investigators. It's an executive officer position, and what the board was envisioning is someone to manage the grants. Let's say they would need to either apply or just ensure that there was public accountability for these funds.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Senator Dutrow.
Our information indicates that House Bill 2414 is an appropriation bill. Has that bill cleared committees, and is that in Ways and Means? Where is that bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, I'm not sure where that is. John, do you know?
Mr. Chair and Senator Trow, I don't know, but we can find out for you, certainly.
I would think that's a relevant thing to know at some point. Do I understand the way that the board has operated now? Basically, the only appropriation made was a dollar appropriation that started.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, that's
correct. So if the board has operated, it's operated everybody coming at their own expense and
right.
Operating as a board. Okay. And is that likely, if we can't find money this biennium, will they continue to operate that way?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, I'd like to let the board respond to that. In some discussions, it sounds like it would be a hardship for them to continue this way.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen. Dr. Frederick Seil, or Seal, Seil, and Pat Richards, member of the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. Would you both come to the table, please? Please identify yourself, sir, and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dr. Frederick Seil. I'm chairman of the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. I was to present the budget. I think basically you've heard it presented already. Just to briefly reiterate that, what we're requesting is a total of $3 million. Our current budget is $1, and the 98% of that money is intended for use to support research and 2% for administrative purposes.
Okay, we had some questions about how would this complement any federal grants or are available?
All right. The major funder of this kind of research is the National Institutes of Health, okay, which puts in somewhere between $40 and $60 million per year to support this research. The way this works is that there are a number of agencies, private and state and federal, that are supporters of this kind of research, and each reviews grant applications that are initiated by investigators or groups of investigators, and their peer review process generally, so that the people who review the grants are familiar with what's going on in the field. And the way duplication is avoided is simply by the grant review process, by having people who know what's happening review an application for what is about to happen. Now, there actually, in the scientific process, duplication is not all bad. Sometimes a confirmation of results is not only good, but is necessary. In other words, one lab replicating the results of another lab, particularly if there's something that's a bit controversial. So it's not always desirable to avoid duplication. It's sometimes good to have some.
Mr. Senator Trill.
Do other states have such research boards as this for spinal injuries?
Yes, they do.
Where do they find money to support them? Are there federal grants? Is it federal?
No, this is not, these are not federal grants. This is entirely separate from.
Are there private foundation grants?
No. For example, the first one of these was in New York. And the way they support theirs is to add a dollar onto every moving violation, and use that those funds.
An extreme for it.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. Have you proposed anything like that as a board?
We haven't. I thought it was a good idea myself, but we haven't because we were given to understand that this would not be received too well.
What happens if we have a real shortage of general funds?
Right.
And normally, if we had plenty of it, well, we might be able to fund this board.
Mm.
But if we don't, can the board continue to operate if we pass this bill? It has a dollar appropriation again in it. We stay around and then come back when maybe we have more money?
We can continue to meet. We generally meet quarterly, and we can continue to talk about what we'd do with the money if we had it. But nothing will be accomplished in terms of a movement forward unless
this legislature does something, gives you some money, or finds you a revenue stream or something at the state level.
Right.
You don't see any outside revenues.
No, I don't think that this would be too efficient as a fundraising body. Generally, this is done by people who can move immediately to use the money. In other words, for example, by a group within the medical school or individual investigators.
Mr. Chair, one more question.
Sure.
Is the medical school sufficiently interested that they would do the work of trying to find money to fund this? They raise a lot of money privately. Are they interested in raising money to fund the operation of this board and to do this kind of research?
No, not the operation of this board per se. Now, I don't know what the administration's point of view is. I can't speak for that. But but as a member of the Department of Neurology, I can tell you what's happening there. Neurology recently received a $5 million grant from the Veterans Administration for Parkinson's disease, or for Parkinson's Disease Research Center. In addition, there was a $1 million private donation to support multiple sclerosis research. Now, both of these groups are very interested in establishing a regeneration program, and they will certainly be happy to put money into the establishment of a regeneration program. And, for example, if we were to recruit somebody in stem cell research, this could benefit not only spinal cord injury research, it could also benefit multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and a variety of other diseases. This is the kind of route that people envision. But in terms of raising new money, no, they're all, you know, looking after their own subspecialty interests, and but willing to pool the resources in order to achieve some common goal.
Mr. Chair, yes. The Health Sciences University has a proposal that I think has been embraced by the governor in his budget, basically to get some tobacco settlement funds, $10 million worth, which could be then used for bonding, mm-hmm. to leverage some money to pay for certain kinds of research.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be a source of funds for this kind of research? Are you close enough to that general topic to benefit from any of those funds?
Well, I can't speak for the administration of OHSU.
I know you can't, but you surely know something about research.
Yes.
Is it possible that's a source of funds from your point of view, not speaking for the administration?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a less likely source.
Okay. Thank you. Doctor, when these grants are given specifically to Parkinson or to MS, is there ever any possibility that they look at spinal cord injury, or is it very specific to the diseases that you just mentioned?
There are common areas. For example, a potential treatment of any of these disorders might be transplantation of nerve cells. So from a point of view such as that, yes, they all have a common point of view. However, they are all different diseases, and they each have individual problems that must be dealt with in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and as Senator Trill said, OHSU is requesting $200 million to match to leverage the $300 million that they say that they can raise. And I hear you saying you don't think that there's anything specific in the $200 million requested of the state bond sales specific to spinal cord injury?
I don't believe so. I mean, but see, I'm not, I really don't know.
All right. I see Jeff is in the back there. And so, Jeff, would you report to this committee? Ask Dr. Kohler, you know, what are that $500 million, what the expectations of that. Representative Winters?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow along on that, Senator Trost, because it was my understanding, unless I missed it last session, that the dollar that was granted last session was an enabling dollar to allow the board in working with MSHU and others to generate the dollars. Now, I don't, not unless I missed something last session, but that was my understanding. So what has happened from last session to now, that kind of collaboration or that work didn't happen with OSHU and others in developing a funding base?
Well, it's my understanding that the purpose there was to set up the board.
Right.
But that it is not the charge of the board to be a fundraising agency. It was to be an agency that determined what to do with the funding.
Which we didn't give.
Which we didn't give.
Yeah.
Okay, other questions for the doctor? Not Pat. Richards, please.
Senator Hartung, members of the committee, my name is Pat Richards, and I live in Portland. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I'll keep this real short. I would like to give you a real short history on the bill, and then I have a video that I would like to show with your permission. 3 years ago, I founded Oregon on Top, trying focal paralysis. Top is part of a national coalition to enact legislation to fund spinal cord injury research called Quest for the Cure. Quest consists of two parts: state co-chairs and committees who work within their respective states to pass spinal cord injury research bills, and a national coalition of the major spinal cord injury organizations and institutions who endorse and support the state efforts. The state committees are all volunteers. All of the chairs are either spinal cord injured or family members. My own daughter suffered a spinal cord injury in 1989 and is paralyzed from the chest down. All funds raised in a state are designated for research conducted in that state. Last session of the legislature, as you heard earlier, Senate Bill 540 established a spinal cord injury research board in the state of Oregon. Hopefully, House Bill 5041 will provide the board with research funds.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments? Members, we're going to have to adjourn at 3 o'clock today, and I do want to go into work session on that. Can you all stay till 3 o'clock for sure? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't mind, maybe we'd hear, I've got about 6 more people. If we could have 3 or 4 minutes before we see your video, would that work okay?
Sure.
Okay. And so let us have David Q or David G.
I'm in this chair, David.
Please pass this bill on and lock it in.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Jolene Vanderzanden. I don't know if I got the right name, pronunciation. The left.
Heck of a name to take on, trust me.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Nice.
I can't read your writing anyway.
Well, forget my script.
Yeah.
That comes from my medical background. I'm a nurse. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would like to just reiterate how important this bill is to all of us. My son represented this state beautifully. My son was a Class 1 gymnast. My son was number 2 in the region. My son was getting ready to go to nationals. My son was also given a letter from the governor because he was also picked to be a music representative to Europe for the state of Oregon, in not only voice, but in band. My son broke his neck. My son lost it all. My son is now quadriplegic. He still represents his state well, although he cannot live here anymore. It's too cold. One of the first things you lose when you break your neck is your thermostat. And it is just too cold for him here, so he now lives in California. The other reason he's in California is because this state doesn't have enough background in spinal cord injury to support and sustain him. And getting research coming into this state would help our doctors and our rehab centers get that flow of information on a one-to-one basis that they can't get right now. Dr. Cockrell in Portland, it just tears her hair out constantly trying to get information to help her children up there. David and Amber were roommates, next door roommates to my son at the time. They've all been hurt for approximately 2.5 years, almost going on 3 years. And if you don't mind, I have pictures of these two before they were hurt and after, since they were hurt, that I would love to give you because they were quite the pips at the hospital. But she tore her hair out because my son had requested some new medications that the doctors here in Salem flat told him, I can't get it for you. It's not possible. Now, Dr. Cockle was able to get it just this year for one of the boys up there, and he is now doing better, better than he should have been doing. And that's why it's very important to get some research going in this state, because if, without that research, our doctors don't have any place to turn, as Dr. Cockrell put it. Living in Oregon at times is like living in a black, living next to the black hole. All the information goes there, and she can't get it. And so I would really love to just really impress upon you how important it is. My son gets better rehab down there, much better rehab. He's regaining things, the use of his hands slightly, that he wasn't even made available to him here. And that's very important. I want, these kids can't travel like my son can right now. They deserve their chance too. They haven't even had a shot at life. And yes, there's laws protecting disabled people, that they have rights, certain inalienable rights, that, you know, they're supposed to be taken on the field trips and stuff like that. Amber will tell you, up until I jumped up and down and her mother jumped up and down at the school, she was being refused field trips because there's always an excuse. These kids don't deserve that. None of them do. Yes, my son is doing wonderful things for his life, but as far as having a wonderful life, no, he's not. He has had to take placement tests twice because nobody believed he was that smart. He has had to fight to get to go on field trips himself in the school system. He was 16 when he got hurt. He was 16, a junior. He was a 3.75 student whose grades dropped to 3.0 because the school system couldn't sustain and support him. And that, I think, is very important, that we start allowing these people to achieve their best in their life. My son did wonderful things. He would like to continue to do wonderful things. And he doesn't necessarily want to always live away from his family. But right now he must. So please, really think and consider this. It's important to get that research in this state so this state can be prepared. This state can give to their people what they deserve.
Thank you very much. Questions from the members? Appreciate very much your coming to testify. And may I hear from Kat Rayburn?
Hi.
Welcome to the committee.
And thank you for letting us speak. I'm kind of on the periphery here.
By yourself for the record.
I'm sorry, I'm Kat Rayburn. And I don't have a handicapped or injured child, but my daughter's fiance is Jolynn's son. Now, they started going together almost 3 years ago, just before his accident. She got to dance with him once. They've been to proms. He's in his wheelchair. And we have some pictures of that if you'd like to see. Tim is a remarkable young man. He's made advances that were never expected at the time of his accident. And he deserves a chance to be able to walk again. My daughter deserves to have a chance to walk with her husband down the aisle when they get married. As it is, she's got to move down to California too. So we both have kids living away from our families. It's very difficult. Oregon isn't helping their handicapped people. Their spinal injuries. It's just not being done. And it is in other places. The research is being done. There is things that can be done. Work that can be done that just isn't happening. And it needs to be. This is something that can be fixed. It's a fixable thing. And to doom someone to a life in a wheelchair when it could be fixed is just totally insensible. There were medications that Tim might have been given at the time that may have let him be on his feet now. But Salem didn't have it. Salem Hospital couldn't provide it. They had misinformation on it. Misinformation. That's frightening when it's our only hospital. And they don't even have the right information. This needs to be fixed. And this money can help fix it. So I ask you to allocate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Kat, questions or comments from members? Thank you. Michael James, please. Certainly.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's see. Ahead of that, Arwin Bird and Charles Bird. Could you both come up together? And then we'll go to Sandra Harris. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Arwin Bird, and I'm here today to support funding for spinal cord injury research. I have an obvious personal stake in this issue in that I was paralyzed by a drunk driver 6 years ago. To say the least, this injury was life-changing for me. Every aspect of my daily life, as well as my long-term goals, have been affected by my paralysis. I would like to describe some of the aspects of my injury to help you better understand what a cure would mean for me. I'm 26 years old. A great majority of the time, my body feels much, much older. I go to physical therapy to help deal with constant pain. I have been diagnosed with osteoporosis. I also have arthritis. I deal with reoccurring bladder infections and incontinence. My immune system is weaker, and I require more rest than my peers to be healthy. According to the averages, my lifespan has been shortened. When I describe the effect that my disability has on my daily life, I say that whatever I do takes three times the amount of energy and time to accomplish than if an able-bodied person were doing the same thing. Imagine the things that you do for yourself, your laundry, the dishes, making your bed, folding your clothes, taking a shower, the list goes on. Now imagine tripling the amount of energy and time that you need to accomplish these same tasks. Life in general becomes more difficult. Every wheelchair that I've owned costs around $3,000. That does not include ongoing maintenance on the chair. I take medications and use medical supplies daily. Every time I urinate, I use a catheter. The catheters I use cost 70 cents each. Multiply that by an average of 7 times per day, 365 days per year. Imagine having to pay 70 cents each time you wanted to use the restroom. It would get pretty expensive, wouldn't it? These are just two examples of the many expenses related to my injury. The costs of spinal cord injury multiply greatly for people with higher levels of paralysis. These are just a few illustrations of the way my life has changed since my injury, and my story is not unusual. My injury renders me paraplegic, meaning that I still have full use of two of my limbs, my arms. Many people with higher injuries deal with greater amounts of pain and further complications. Were my injury higher on my spinal cord, my daily life would require much more energy, planning, and time. Cure for spinal cord injury is on the horizon. Finding a cure for SCI is the most expensive and most effective remedy compared to the high cost of ongoing care for the thousands of paralyzed Oregonians. Funding a cure for SCI also means finding a cure for multiple sclerosis, strokes, head injuries, Parkinson's disease, and other diseases. These are injuries or disorders of the central nervous system and will benefit from the same advances. There are already great advances being made in this area of research. Funding this effort will help establish Oregon as a leader in the fight to find a cure. I hope that my testimony has given you some insight into the importance of funding a cure for spinal cord injury. It would certainly mean a great deal for thousands of Oregonians with spinal cord injuries, including myself. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Questions from the members? If not, Charles?
Thank you. I'm Charles Bird. I'm Arwin's dad. Arwin is our older daughter. And before Arwin's accident, I knew nothing about spinal cord injury. Perhaps the only thing I knew was before our accident was that it was incurable. I'm here to talk to you about a paradigm shift, because that was the body of knowledge, that was the belief 30 years ago when I graduated from school, and many of you may have shared the same background that I do. But since that time, there's been a lot of change, and we've proven, or the scientists have proven, and I'm an engineer, so I don't profess to know any more than I read and have studied and have taken this up as a personal cause to learn more about. But I'm here to talk about a paradigm shift, because 30 years ago we thought it was incurable, but now we know that we can generate nerve cells, we can take stem cells, and we can create nerve cells within animals, and these studies have proven to be true. We can take not only harvest stem cells from embryos, which is kind of the common source, but now if you go down to Red Cross and you give blood, you can read some things about how they're harvesting stem cells from your blood when you give blood. So we're talking about technology that in the last 10 years has gone from pessimism to optimism. In the last 5 years, we know we can prove that you can grow spinal cord tissue. In the last 3 years, we know how to get these cells. We can get them from embryos, or we could get them from our own brains. We can harvest our own stem cells to grow in our own spinal cord. Now we can harvest them out of the blood supply. This is moving rapidly. Oregon stands to be in the tide, to get into the tide by funding this research bill. We have scientists in Oregon that are leaders in their field, but they need funding. And there's no natural source of funding for spinal research. There's a natural source of funding for drugs to treat chronic injury or to acute injury when you go to the emergency room. But there's no major source of funding to treat long-term spinal injured individuals. The money's not there. And that's why we come to you. That's why we're coming to you with this proposal. Just to put in perspective as a last thought, by the statistics you heard earlier, approximately $100,000 a year is what it costs to take care of a spinal injury, and that's the things you see and the things you don't see to support the person with a spinal injury. There's over 3,000 spinal injured people in Oregon, and that comes up to about $3 million a year. So we're already spending about $300 million a year on spinal injuries. And what we're asking for is $1.5 million to go towards research to offset this cost, to eliminate it, to make it go away. So there's an economic base for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for the gentleman? Yes, Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've also recently read that stem cells can be harvested from fat, people's fat tissues. I would just like to state on the record that it would be my preference that we wouldn't use embryos for that purpose, that we would use our research money to get it from sources that don't take it from embryos.
Other comments?
Can you respond or
not? Do you have a comment?
From another layperson's comment back, it's because if you can harvest them from yourselves, you have less rejection. So I think that we've gone another paradigm beyond the embryo technology.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sandra Harris, please.
I'd like to ask Jeff a question. OSHU is currently involved in that kind of research. We're sitting talking about an area that I think our university system, and I know they're embarked in a lot of different research arena, and so I would like to know if our university, OSHU, is currently involved in.
Right. You know, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is to follow LFOs. Yeah. And get this bill passed, because then we can do a lot with it. And here I just came across the Chris Tyack Spinal Cord Injury Research Bill, a young man from Beaverton High School, and I know virtually nothing about it. And I see the sponsors, Lane Shetterly and Senator Lee Beyer, and I'd like to get them back in front of the committee, too, because I agree with you. It seems to me that OHSU ought to be taking the lead on this, but I don't know. So thank you very much. And Sandra Harris, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sandra Harris, and I'm one of the board members. I've also been a nurse in neurorehabilitation for 18 years. Although the unit where I work treats several neurological and neurosurgical diagnoses and procedures, my specialty has been spinal cord injury. I don't know how many Oregonians you know whose lives have been affected by a spinal cord injury. You might view them on a spectrum of qualities as courageous to very sad individuals. The losses in their lives are beyond physical. Spinal cord injury happens mostly to young people, as already been mentioned, people with young families, people with responsibilities. I join with the others today in speaking for these survivors. Spinal cord injury, to me, is a communication problem. If that cord could be connected, the body would be able to receive and send the necessary information to function. One's whole life becomes involved in maintaining health without that communication. If you can't do the daily exercises, every 20-minute pressure relief, bowel and bladder care, range of motion, stretches, visual oversight to watch for pressure points, medication management, rearrangement in bed at regular intervals during sleep to prevent pressure sores, the list goes on, then someone else has to do them, or your health is jeopardized and precious time is wasted with infection or hospitalization. And there is no break, no vacation from this vigilance. Spinal cord injury is very costly. Maintaining health and the equipment involved is a constant and repetitive expense. Much of this money comes from state sources, as insurance plans are often limited or non-existent. This is a no-winner situation. We are living in an age where the cure for spinal cord injury is just around the corner. There are so many exciting things being discovered in the current research, and we need to push on. Advances in finding the cure for a spinal cord injury will impact many other diagnoses involving neurological injury or disease. To me, that is one of the most exciting parts. If you could paint a similar scenario and call it multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, or a host of other names, and this research would impact that disease process also. Now is the time to press forward. Oregon has the ability to do this research, and it is critical to help those who have a foot in the door but need their finances to proceed. I could tell you individual stories of people whose lives have been changed forever because of spinal cord injury, but I've chosen not to. This could be a very emotional presentation, and perhaps you have been moved by some of the testimonies already been given. But their lives are affected every hour of every day of every year. But look around, there are many things in this life that are difficult and we cannot expect to right every wrong. To me, there's a practical point here. Research has been done and is still going on. We want to enable a firm push ahead. The results are exciting and promising. This research will help other diagnoses and is not an isolated instance. Other states are beginning to see the possibilities of a push in this direction of research. Oregon needs to join in for the benefit of her residents and others. Please put your influence and vote towards allotting the funds necessary to allow this research to pick up its pace in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Questions or comments? Well, thank you very much. Members, what we need to do, we need to get a bill passed and underway so we can explore these other options for funding. And so, John, would you tell us what LFO's recommendation is?
Senator, we need a quorum on the House side,
right.
I believe.
I'll get one. If you want to holler, I think there's two members outside. We need two House members. Apologize to the committee for not being able to spend more time with it, but we are scheduled tomorrow, in fact, the rest of the week, to hearing budget bills for education committee, because today we got the forecast, but we'll get back to this bill, but we do need to pass a bill. And so, John, you're not being scolded.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I
know it. You know, you can't take...
You know, as a kid, I did. Mr. Ford would have told you that.
All right, John, tell us what LFO... Yes, and so I'll close the public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 5041.
Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 5041 is, as we've heard, the budget bill for the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. It includes $1 of general fund appropriation and $3 million of other funds expenditure limitation. However, the other funds expenditure limitation is empty. There is no revenue to support actual expenditures of funds. At the same time, if the agency receives some other funds revenue, having some reasonable amount of other funds expenditure limitation for the agency to use seems appropriate. If the agency receives a significant amount of new other funds, it can request additional limitation from the emergency board. Likewise, if the agency receives federal fund revenue, it can request the emergency board to establish a federal funds expenditure limitation to be able to use those funds. And I note here that the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board must request permission to apply for a federal grant. Likewise, we did look up House Bill 2412 to see what was happening to it. It was referred to Ways and Means in last January, and it has not had a hearing at all since then. So my recommendation is to amend House Bill 5041 to reduce the other funds expenditure limitation from $3 million to $50,000. And the $50,000 is simply an arbitrary number. There's no basis for that either. But my reasoning there was that if the board were to get some other funds, and it needed to spend some of them between now and the first emergency board in September, perhaps, that it could do that and then come back in September if it had revenue to request additional limitation.
Might everyone understand the LFO recommendations to amend 5041? Is there any objection to that amendment?
Would you like me to move it, Mr. Chair? I'll move
Please.
It.
Yeah. Okay, Senator Trill moves the amendment to House Bill 5041 as recommended by LFO. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the bill as amended to the what? Where do we want it to go? The full committee?
Yes.
Okay. Move it to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. My understanding is that what we've done is we're appropriating another $1.
Right.
And then we're also given an expenditure limitation of $50,000 for other fund dollars if they can find the revenue.
And everyone understands that this bill did not contain a $3 million appropriation from the general fund. That's just you've heard Senator Cho's motion. Is there an objection? Seeing none, so order. And the motion was to send this to a full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. There's no objection.
With so, $50,000, right?
With the $50,000, that's how we amended it, yes. Senator Troll, will you carry that to full? Is there any other business to come before this committee?
No, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Wendy.
I would like to hear from Jeff before we have full Ways and Means on what Oregon OSHU
right.
is doing respecting this issue.
Yeah, hopefully we'll hold a, Jeff, we can hold another hearing not too far down. Well, let's see. You want to hear from Jeff or OHSU before this ends up in the full?
Well, just so they send us something in writing where they are on it, I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that, Jeff, that's not unreasonable, just to give us a position paper soon and so we can understand what our presentation and arguments will be in the full. Any other comments? If not, we are adjourned.